Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav, poslušate Radio Študent na frekvenci 89,3 MHz in RŠ Intervju, kjer uživo gostimo italijanskega producenta, danes živečega na Irskem, Leopolda Rosso, imenovanega Rosso, ki se je ob prelomu stoletja nekako odločil začeti zopet s produciranjem elektronske glasbe in je prišel do te ravni, kjer ga v bistvu citirajo, navajajo in uporabljajo v svojih DJ setih. Praktično DJ iz vseh voda, tako iz basiranih, kakor haos in tehno voda. Tako da ga pred nastopom v klubu K4 danes večer z veseljem pozdravljam. Hele Rosa.
Hello.
How's it going?
All good. I'm well. Thank you very much.
I'm really glad to have an artist such as yourself in Radio Student, especially as I've heard that your first contact with electronic music was through a radio station in Rome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really glad you asked me to join you. And yeah, that's true. I mean, first love for house and hip hop was through a radio, actually. Late night radio in Rome was called Radio Dimensione Suono. It was a program called Dimensione Dance. And that's where they used to, yeah, that's the things I used to listen very, I wasn't even going to clubs, like I was just with my headphones listening.
You were too young, probably.
Yeah, I was too young to go to clubs.
So, what was exactly the music that you were listening to that made you aware that there was a whole world of music that was totally different from pop?
I think early on it was hip-hop, rap, like the first Run DMC, it was really the first thing I heard, like that was quite different. At least before that, like I would have heard some other things, like sometimes on the radio you would hear like some 80s things, like some Kraftwerk, but it didn't really click on me. Like I was too young, like it did sound like very out there, but hip hop was the first thing like that was really not commercial. It was weird and people didn't like it. And I was a teenager and I thought like, I like that. And I really liked the scratching.
So was scratching the factor that made you decide to play
out? It was to, yeah, I remember going to a gig in Rome, like where Run DMC, Derek B and Public Enemy were playing. Derek B is this English hip hopper. He doesn't play anymore. Like I think he passed away actually not too long ago. But he had this DJ with him, DJ Scratch, an English DJ. And he started doing these things where he jumped on the table and he was scratching with his, you know, like on top of the table, we're bending backwards, and I never seen these were the early turntablists, you know, what you see now, like with all like peanut butter wolves and all this kind of big. And I never seen, and I was really like, yeah, I want to do that. You know, it was incredible because it was really fast and he was doing all these things with his nose and his hands, like moving the records around. It was really, so yeah, that was one of those things. For a good 2 or 3 years, I was really trying to learn how to do that. Yeah.
So you played out?
Yeah, I used to DJ in Rome for a bit, like at parties, private parties and some clubs, an old club in Rome called Alien.
What was the music you played out? Was it commercial or was it underground?
In Alien in Rome, like it was more underground. It would have been the early rave stuff, like RNS from Belgium, like, what was his name? Chris the Wolf, like there's all this kind of like old rave stuff, like. And then when I started getting the early gigs in Rome, it was more commercial though, because there were commercial clubs, so you could mix a bit of house, but you had to play a bit of like this kind of more commercial house, like Black Box and all this big singing kind of stuff, like, which was okay. But after a while, I lost interest in getting gigs just because of that, because I didn't like playing. I was buying records for me, and then I was buying other records to play in clubs, like, and I just felt like I didn't like that. This was before like underground became like it is now, like, you know, the main sound. Like back then you had underground that was no one wanted to hear, like only few people, and then you had commercial house, which was what everyone, but maybe it's still a bit like that, I suppose. I don't know.
So it probably wasn't that easy to get records let's say tracks records or something like that.
No.
So how did you buy? Where did you buy the records?
Well, in Rome, there were two or three good record shops where they would have these kind of things. They would have tracks sometimes. It wouldn't be easy to find all of them. You'd have to kind of go there regularly and make friends with the owners and tell them what you were into. And then when they saw you, they recognized you. And they would have maybe set something aside for you, saying, like, you like this thing. Because there was no Discogs, there was no internet, there was no eBay, like, so you couldn't really find. And there was no internet, so you didn't know what was coming out. And I didn't understand that a lot of the records I liked were from Chicago. I didn't really, you know, everything was coming out at the same time. So I thought, like, records from Belgium or records from Chicago, from Detroit. I mean, I was, you know, 16, 17. I didn't really see the difference between all these things. I just thought, like, some of them were better than others, like, and I just mixed them all together. Like, a lot of the rave stuff was from Belgium, but then a lot of it was coming from America as well. Like, Holophonic Dimensions, some of the stuff on RNS anyway, like, was American, and a lot of techno obviously was coming from America. So
so in the early 90s you decided to move to Ireland.
Yeah,
why?
That's a good question. I don't know, I wasn't very happy in Italy. I think I just wanted to travel. I felt like a bit like unhappy, and I just had this thing like where I wanted to kind of go, and I don't know. And then I got to Ireland and I thought I was gonna stay there visiting friends. I had some friends there. But I really like Ireland. I somehow like it's a really different country. It's not like England. It's really a very specific place, like where Irish people are very nice and interesting. Like, and it was very laid back. It's very green, and like people very friendly. And I just don't know. I just liked it. And I think I liked the fact that for the first time I was living by myself. I had my own place. Like, I was away from home. Like, and I really liked being by myself and kind of doing my own things. Right? So I think it was one of those things that if I had ended up maybe saying in London or Berlin, I would have probably liked it straight away. I just like being finally independent, like, rather than anything. Because in Italy, you don't, you know, you stay home until you're 30 and you get married and then you leave home. Like, and I just, you know, I didn't like that. I wanted to go away and get a job and do my own kind of life rather than.
I find it interesting that you entered Ireland when Ireland was most successful. It was the fastest growing economy in the world.
Yeah, when I got there, it was just getting, like, it was still, you know, like this, you know, it would have been really poor, but just about to, everything was starting to sort of pick up. Because when I was there, there was no work, like, and people were asking me, why are you here? There's nothing here, like, and I thought, oh, I just like here. But then all of a sudden, all these jobs started popping up, but there wasn't great jobs. It was mostly just like call centers, you know, loads of them, a lot of these jobs. For a while, there was a lot of call center jobs. And then you could see, but a lot of other jobs, I think it's always been just manufacturing, call centers. Now you see some of the new jobs are more like development, software development, and there's more like technical job. But early on, the boom was just all these call centers, and that's all you get for a good while.
So I understand that while you were living in Ireland, you stopped DJing. And
yeah,
entered,
even before.
And started playing harmonica in a blues band.
In Rome. Yeah. I know. But no, that's what I was saying. When I was DJing in Rome, like, I got sick a bit of playing in commercial clubs, and I stopped listening to techno. I just got sick of it. I spent like too much time, and I just felt like I need a break. And then when I was doing that, I started listening to other music, and one of my best friends, he wasn't even singing then, he was just playing guitar and singing, like, and he was really into blues, and he introduced me to a lot of blues, Led Zeppelin, and then a lot of different music, like African, Nigerian music, like Fela Kuti. It introduced me to a lot of things that I had missed, you know. And then we thought it would be nice to play some blues together, so I couldn't play any instrument, but I picked up the harmonica really quickly. So we started playing together, then we met another guy that was playing bass, then we met another guy, and then all of a sudden we were playing in clubs in Rome, like, just playing kind of like old blues songs, and we wrote some new songs, and it was good fun for a bit, like, but then after that, like, I left, so I, you know, I could have been a big rock star, but...
so at the end of 90s you rediscovered techno personally.
How
did this happen?
In Ireland, I remember going to these friends I made, Irish friends, like, and they were playing this Warp compilation. There was the second artificial intelligence compilation, and there was like all the first Otecre, Beaumont, Anant, some Aphex Twin, some Scanner, and I was really like, oh wow. And then also they were playing that new, the first Goldie album, Timeless. Mm-hmm. And I had not listened to electronic music for a while, so this stuff was really like, it wasn't techno, it wasn't very danceable, it was just really weird, like, and especially Jungle, it was really like, what is this? Like,
but you must have heard Jungle in Italy already.
In Rome, no, there wasn't really any. It was just happening, like, and it was in Ireland, but this was 95, like, in Rome I had not really got in yet, so the first time I heard it really was in Ireland. But mostly I really like Otecre, I really like that kind of chill out stuff, like, so I started buying records again, but it would have been Otecre, Aphex Twin, this kind of things, like.
So you started producing at 2000?
Yeah.
Who gave you the synthesizer? Where did you get the synthesizer, the equipment?
Well, I met from buying electronic records, I met one guy that was working in a shop, and we got friends, and he had a little studio at home, like, where he had synthesizers and things like that. And what happened was that at some point he had money problems, so he asked me, like, to take his keyboard, which I liked a lot, which I was playing on sometimes just for fun, like, and to give him some money. And then he said, like, well, once I get that money back, I'll give you the money back, you give me the synth back. So I said, yeah, sure, why not, because he was a friend. But then this went on for a year. For a year he didn't have the money, so for a year I had this keyboard at home, like, and I was kind of recording and playing with it. And then when he came back, I was like, oh no. So I actually had the money. He gave me back the money, I gave him back the synth, and then with the money I went and bought the same synth because I liked it so much. And then afterwards, yeah, then I started buying a sequencer, and literally I had everything on a table in the kitchen, because it was a very small apartment, like, so I was making music, like, with on the kitchen table with, like, keep keyboard and the speakers on top, like, and it was very stupid looking. I have a picture somewhere of me, like, on the dinner table, like, with everything on top.
So it took you 5 years to produce a solid release, right? It was on D1 Records?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recorded a lot. I tend to record a lot and very fast. Like, and in fact, some of the stuff I'm releasing last year and this year as well are really old recordings from that time.
Okay.
Because they were more ambient than now. But like when for proper dance music, yeah, it took me about 4 or 5 years to get.
But there's a 2-year gap between your first record and your second record. Why did this happen? Was it on purpose?
No, I don't know. It was just kind of slowly picking up, because the first record, it was funny, like, because D1 is a strange label, like, and they sort of released that, and then they sort of had problems with the distributor. The distributor went bankrupt, so they didn't have anything like that, and I had not planned to do it. It was my first record. I thought, like, ah, well, whatever, like, you know, I didn't think anything would happen. So I left it at that, I didn't follow it up. But then I was still buying records, and then I came across this really cool label, secondhand, that was called Real Soon. And I really liked, because they were doing really slow house, like Theo Parrish sort of things, like, but they were English and they were a bit different. So I sent them some tracks, like, and they liked them, and then they did an EP. And that's probably why there was a gap, because then the day after I released the EP with Real Soon, like, Uzzuri Lerato called me from Uzzuri saying, like, oh, I am starting a label, I've just heard this track on this track, do you want to give me a music? So they kind of picked up from there, and then all of a sudden, like, I got, yeah, I think it was when house was starting to come up as well.
You mostly, you exclusively released stuff on vinyl, right?
Yeah, not exclusively. I mean, if a label wants to release the digital, is fine as well. But mostly, I always like to have the main release on vinyl.
Mm-hmm. So, well, now that your stuff's been mostly digitalized, how do you feel about that?
I don't mind. I understand people not being into vinyl. You know, if I were now to start buying music, like, you know, I probably would do like everyone else and buy digital. I don't have a problem. I know that for me, like, whenever I have to buy something, I only buy vinyl. I can, you know, I like how Clone, for example, if you buy a record now, they give you a link to an MP3, so I can, you know. But by and large, I, you know, then I'm releasing now a new record on an Irish label called Apartment, like, and they only do vinyl. They are not gonna do, you know, they're really fixated with vinyl. They don't like digital. That's fine as well. I'm, you know, I like to work with different labels that have different ideas. It's nice to get inspiration from different people with different approaches, like Uzzuri and Touch of Class. They don't mind releasing digital. That's fine. Like, as long as the main product is physical, I'm happy. Like, because at least I have it. Because
I have an interesting story about the physical product. A year ago, I was looking for the hieroglyphic being Jamal Moss's tape Urantia, which was released on Further Records.
Yeah.
And then I saw two tapes that were also released that I wasn't aware of, and that those tapes were yours and AB's, but they were out of print.
Okay.
And they were all bought by a record store in Shibuya, Japan. So I wrote to them, and they didn't have any more records. What I wanted to know is, why did you decide to release your music on tape?
Well, that was the idea of this Mark guy who runs Further, Mark and Chloe. But Mark was the guy who got in touch with me out of the blue from Facebook. Mm-hmm. He said, like, he liked my music. And he explained to me he wanted to start this label that was just going to be on cassettes, because cassettes are cheaper, because he likes the sound of cassette, you know, because they had this equipment to make it sound really good on cassette. And he said, it would be good for you, because I would want you to give me music that you wouldn't put on vinyl, you know, that it's not dance, because I don't think, you know, I think you could do something more interesting. And it just sounded like a good idea. I wasn't particularly attracted to tape, but I liked the fact that he said, like, you're going to have complete freedom of what you give me. And it's just going to be all the music, maybe other labels, you know. So it's kind of nice. And I'm working with him again this year, giving me the more ambient, because it's a nice channel. And the cassette is nice. It's a nice thing. Like, I still have loads of cassettes from when I was a teenager. So.
But it didn't have a feeling of an album. You released an album last year called Amanato.
Yeah.
And it has Chicago music all written all over it.
Yeah.
So what is about Chicago that makes you make music like this, like soulful and...
I don't know. I think really the first house I heard was Chicago House, once house started coming into, and when I decided to do an album, it all kind of came within a year and a half, and it was all this kind of sound I had in my head, like, was really my, you know, my favorite music. It's all Chicago, but like the old tracks, and it just kind of came natural to do an album like that. And a lot of it, like, it's really Larry Heard is probably one of my favorite producers, like, so I think when it came to that, a lot of the, I suppose, inspiration and kind of background was that kind of music. If you want to do sort of soulful and emotional and romantic, I think that Larry Heard is the main thing. Like, I mean, I think, you know, it came out like that because the whole album was quite romantic and sort of about love and things like that. So that's the sound, you know. Maybe the next album I do is not going to be about love, it's going to have different inspiration, but that one just came out like that, yeah. So Chicago, I don't know, I think it just, it's my... one of the first, it's really the first house I heard, like, so to me, so like, if I have to think of like my basic home place for house, for me, that's that sound. Like,
okay. What can we expect from your performance today? Club K4?
I should be quite energetic. I brought house and some techno and a lot of Chicago acid, like, and I brought also some dubstep, you know, if I can fit it in, and some electro and some... I bought my new record that's not released yet. I bought some white labels I got from different labels, from Lunar Disco in Dublin, and from Night Gallery in Washington. They have a new release coming out soon. I got promos as well. So I got some new promos, a lot of different things. I just want to see. I never played in Ljubljana, so I'm gonna see how people react to different things. But it's gonna be good, solid dance music.
I have no doubt in this. Okay. Mr. La Rosa, thank you very much for your music and your kind words.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Very excited to be a student radio.
Interview Radia Student.